Blog Talk Radio.
If I didn't know what it be broken, then how would I know what it feels like to be whole? If I didn't know what it cuts like to be rejected, then I wouldn't know the joy of coming home. Maybe it's okay if I'm not okay, 'cause the one who holds the world.
My God has set me free. Open my eyes, now I can see the
He can try, but he won't deceive me. I can see right through him. He wants me to hide, he's the father of lies, but I got an army on my side. And when I back him down, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The shadow of death, I will fear no evil, fear no evil. Comes to kill, steal and destroy, but I am quitting, I'm not backing down, not giving up, he can't hold me back.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me on tonight. Before I get into the message, I need somebody to know that the devil is a liar. I don't know what it took for you to join me on tonight, what it's been like, what it's been like for you all the week. I don't know what you've been through, but I know the devil is trying to add insult to injury, but the devil is a liar. You pressed your way here tonight for a reason. I pray that the word of the Lord will deliver your need for tonight. To God be the glory. That was "The Devil is a Liar" by a band called We Are Messengers. The first song was also by We Are Messengers. The song is entitled "Maybe It's Okay." They have a new CD coming out on March the 29th. I'm so excited. So if you like either one of those songs, check that out. With that being said, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. Let me formally introduce myself. I am Prophet Stacy, and this is Prolific Fire. Thank you, everybody. Let's get right into the word for tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask that you give me the strength, Lord God, to bring forth this message, God, the way that you gave it to me, God, that your name may get the glory. Stand up mightily in me tonight, God. Use me to your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. From the New International Reader's Version, the NIRV. Again, that's 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, from the NIRV. Naaman is healed of a skin disease. Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a very important man in the eyes of his master, and he was highly respected. That's because the Lord had helped him win the battle over Aram's enemies. He was a brave soldier, but he had a skin disease. Companies of soldiers from Aram had marched out. They had captured a young girl from Israel. She became a servant of Naaman's wife. She spoke to the woman she was serving. She said, "I wish my master would go and see the prophet who is in Samaria. He would heal my master of his skin disease." Naaman went to see his own master. He told him what the girl from Israel had said. "I think you should go," the king of Aram replied. "I'll give you a letter to take to the king of Israel." So Naaman left.
He took 750 pounds of silver with him. He also took 150 pounds of gold. And he took 10 sets of clothes. He carried the letter to the king of Israel. It said, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you with this letter. I want you to heal him of his skin disease. The king of Israel read the letter. As soon as he did, he tore his royal robes. He said, am I God? Can I kill people and bring them back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be healed of his skin disease? He must be trying to pick a fight with me. Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his robes. So he sent the king a message. It said, why have you tore your robes? Tell the man to come to me. Then he will know there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went to see Elisha. He took his horses and chariots with him. He stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger out to him. The messenger said, go, wash yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. Then your skin will be healed. You will be pure and clean again. But Naaman went away angry. He said, I was sure he would come out to me. I thought he would stand there and pray to the Lord his God. I thought he would wave his hand over my skin. Then I would be healed. And what about the banner of powerful rivers of Damascus? Aren't they better than any other rivers of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be made pure and clean? So he turned and went away. He was burning with anger. Naaman's servants went over to him. They said, you are like a father to us. What if the prophet Elijah had told you to do something great? What if the prophet Elijah had told you to do some great thing? Wouldn't you have done it? But he only said, wash yourself. Then you will be pure and clean. You should be even more willing to do that. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River. He dipped himself in the river 7 times. He did exactly what the man of God told him to do. Then his skin was made pure again. It became clean, like the skin of a young boy. What do you do when you're the one everyone runs to? What do you do when you are expected to have all the answers? What do you do when people worship you rather than the God of creation? What do you do when people have put you on a pedestal, and you know that pedestal could give way and break at any time? Why? Because you're broken. You're still flawed, but you're in the spotlight. Because you're broken, you're still flawed, but you're in the spotlight. People have made you perfect. People have made you perfect, and the pain of trying to uphold their imposed standard has made you secretive, trying to hide the truth of your imperfection. But you hurt just like them. The truth is, but you hurt just like them. You struggle. You sin. You mess up still, just like them. But somehow you believe that God will forgive them, but not you. But somehow you believe that God will forgive them, but not you. There's no grace and mercy for you. Let you tell it, there's no grace and no mercy for you. So you keep your issues to yourself. So you keep your issues to yourself, your struggles, your mental health struggles to yourself. So you keep your issues to yourself, your struggles, your mental health struggles to yourself. You've been out here too long, trying to go it alone, trying to take it all on yourself, like you're Superman or Superwoman. Your kryptonite isn't showing yet, but you have a weakness too. We all do. Still, you're trying to manage the process. Still, you're trying to manage the process. Still, you're trying to process it. Still, you're trying to compartmentalize it all. In the corner of your own mind, and you're just about to run out of space. But because you feel you have no one you can talk to, no one you can trust, no one that you can trust not to judge you, you hang on in silence, a silence that's costing you everything. What happens when the illness is not physical? What happens when the illness is not physical, like the leprosy Naaman had contracted in tonight's text? What happens when it's not physical, like the leprosy Naaman had contracted in tonight's text? Does it not deserve healing too? Does it not deserve healing too? And if we are really our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper, who's keeping them now? That's a good question. And if we're really our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper, who's keeping them now? When so many leaders are throwing in the towel, when so many leaders are throwing in the towel, you hear about it every day. Some leader has given up. When so many leaders are throwing in the towel, breaking under the weight of unrealistic responsibilities, breaking under the weight of unrealistic responsibilities, and yet too ashamed to seek help, and yet they're too ashamed to seek help because of the position we put them in, by always expecting and never giving a second thought to the person, not the title or position, but the person as a person with a life outside of what we see. Sad, but the truth is, we never really see them, their private life. The truth is, it's sad, but the truth is, we never really see them and respect their private life and the sacrifices they have made until it's too late. Until it's too late, and they have taken their own life as a way of escape. Healing for leaders. Tonight's message. Leaders are people too. Leaders are not perfect. If you want perfect, look to Jesus. And even Jesus said in scripture, "Why call me good? There is none good but the Father." Getting the pressure to be good, to be perfect, off of him. Mark 10 and 18, King James Version. The push to be perfect is a massive amount of pressure, peer pressure among leaders. The push to be perfect is a massive amount of pressure, peer pressure among leaders. That's why an increasing amount of leaders these days end up dying of a heart attack or succumbing to suicide. Too much pressure resulting in heartbroken families and congregations. The truth is, leaders have problems and suffer through issues just like the rest of us. Just like Naaman, he was a leader, but he had leprosy. They suffer through issues just like the rest of us. Sadly, though, most leaders feel they have no one they can confide in, so they hold it in. They hold in what needs to be healed. Putting on the performance of their lives to appease people and appear perfect, not wanting to destroy the image that has been publicly accepted as who they are. And at the same time, not wanting to disappoint God in her or his frailty, in his or her frailty. Leaders struggle. In tonight's foundational text, Naaman was a well-known leader, highly praised and looked upon, who just happened to have leprosy. He was a well-known leader, highly praised and looked upon, who just happened to have leprosy. a horrible contagious disease that involves the rotting of flesh. A contagious disease that affects the skin, causing discoloration and lumps on the skin. Side note, I think it's important to mention that even though it's contagious, leprosy is not spread through touch. So Naaman's wife and others close to him could touch him. They could hug him if they desire to do so. It's only spread through a cough or contact with fluid from the infected person's nose. Now, it might just be me. I don't know, but I believe the only reason Naaman went public with his condition and got some help in tonight's text is because his condition was visible. And so he said, I might as well get some help. That's how I see the text. I believe he really just got some help because his situation, his condition was visible. People could see what the leprosy was doing to his skin. And because they could see it, it made it easier for him to admit he needed healing. But what about those in a leadership role or position whose conditions are not visible? Nobody can see they're a functioning alcoholic. A coping, casual drug user using substances to deal with depression, to deal with their bipolar tendencies, to deal with some pending grief, some family issues, etc. What about those in need of deliverance? In need of healing, but are too ashamed to admit they need help? What about them? God just dropped this in my spirit. God says, even though the Apostle Paul was able to shake it off, and he appeared to be okay, so okay that he went on meeting with people, ministering the gospel to people, doing what he was called to do, assigned to do, in Acts 28. Still, there came a time, some months or so later, when the Apostle Paul rented his own place in Rome, and instead of going out to minister, he stayed in and people came to him. The scripture reads like this. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed in there. There meaning Rome. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed in there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, NIV. God says, oh, how I wish the leaders I have called would do like the Apostle Paul. And take some time off from doing things the way that they're used to doing it. Take some time for yourself. Let people come to you in this season, but you don't go to them to do what you do. Instead, take some time for yourself to heal, to detox, to regroup, to get the help you need. Somebody, let people come to you in this season, but you don't go to them. Instead, take some time for yourself to heal, to detox, to regroup, to get the help you need. God says, I know you're suffering, and like the Apostle Paul, you shook it off. And you have appeared to be okay. Still, the venom of what you're dealing with is present. Somebody under the sound of my voice, don't fool yourself. The venom of what you're dealing with is still present. You might not be able to take 2 whole years off to restructure your life, but you need some time. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, you need some time. You need some time to heal. Time to cater to your mental health needs and seek some outside help. There's no shame in seeking outside help. If you have mental health needs, there is no shame in seeking help. 3 John 2 from the New Century Version, the NCB, starts off by saying, "My dear friend, I know your soul is doing fine, and I pray that you are doing well in every way and that your health is good. But love, it's not automatic. Somebody, you need to know it's not automatic. It actually takes time and effort to be well in every way and for your health to be good and to be able to truly say your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions are all together fine. Don't neglect yourself. Don't neglect yourself of the time and the effort you need to make. Don't neglect yourself of the time and the effort you need to make trying to live up to people's false perceptions of you, trying to live up to people's false perception of you. Remember, God called you to leadership, not them. So you do what you need to do for you to get yourself together. Somebody drop your pride. Do what you need to do for you to get yourself together. Whether you're somebody's pastor, a preacher in the church, an influential lay worker, whether you're somebody's mom or dad, because nobody exudes more leadership skills than a mom or dad. Whether you're a teacher struggling in the classroom, a Sunday school teacher, a principal at the middle school or high school, a boss, entrepreneur, a well-known community leader trying to shake it off and hold it together, a television host, a televangelist or public figure, television personality or sports figure, whoever you are, this goes out to everybody, whoever you are, forget about leading for a season. Forget about leading for a season and focus on living. That's a word right there. Forget about leading for a season and focus on living. Healing, getting yourself together, whole again, healthy again. That's what you need to focus on. Forget about leading for a season and focus on living, healing, getting yourself together, whole again, healthy again. Everything else can wait. Do it for you. Do it for your sanity. Seek help. Now the devil, you know how the devil works. The devil would like nothing more than to see you stand and crumble, nothing more than to see you succumb to suicide or have a massive heart attack in the prime years of your life, all because of what you're holding in, shielding from the spotlight, afraid to admit that you need. The songwriter said, "It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer." Somebody, you need to get real and say, "It's me." Turn that thing on yourself and say, "It's me. I need. And what I need is more than prayer. And what I need right now is more than prayer." Don't get me wrong. I have nothing against prayer. I have nothing, nothing, nothing against prayer, because God did say man should always pray. But you need more than prayer. You need time. You need space. You need professional help to deal with your issues. Undelivered, unhealed mental issues, marital issues, family issues, stress-related issues. In Psalm 69, the psalmist understood his need for space in order to heal and mountain air. The scripture says, "I'm hurt and in pain. Give me space for healing and mountain air." Psalm 69, verse 29 from the Message Bible. The psalmist understood what he needed to heal. The psalmist understood what he needed to heal. Beloved, you need to pay attention to your thoughts. Pay attention to your thoughts. Pay attention to your body. God has designed us in such a way that our minds, Our bodies will warn us, signal us in the direction of what we need. God has designed us in such a way that our minds, our bodies will warn us, signal us in the direction of what we need. Therefore, pay attention so you can understand what it is you need to heal, what it is you need to get delivered. And don't be shy about it. Don't be shy. Now is not the time to be shy. Don't be shy about it, but be very vocal about it. Tell your family. Tell your family members. Tell your friends, your coworkers. Call a meeting at your church and tell the board, the congregation. Tell your boss or whoever you need to tell. Tell them. Tell them, because you're doing this for you. This is about you. This is about saving your life, saving your sanity, saving who you are. The Apostle Paul needed a place and space of his own in Rome. After ministering, getting bit, shaking it off, and continuing to minister, because what doesn't affect a person physically most always affects them mentally, emotionally at some point. Remember that. What doesn't affect a person physically most always affects them mentally, emotionally at some point. So the Apostle Paul restructured his life for 2 years. He restructured his life for 2 years. 2 years his mission changed. For 2 years his mission changed. And instead of going out to minister, the people came to him. He was no longer the seeker, but the seek, giving him time to rest, regroup, to heal mentally, to heal emotionally. But for Naaman in tonight's foundational text, what he needed to heal was totally different from the Apostle Paul. First of all, Naaman couldn't just shake it off. He couldn't just shake leprosy off the way the Apostle Paul shook that snake off. No, Naaman needed to let go of his anger, let go of his pride. And then he needed to make a trip down to the Jordan and dip himself 7 times in the water in order to be healed. So you know what? Now is your turn. You tried to shake it off. You tried to shake that depression off, fight off the bipolar. You tried to get the stress under control, to stop going back to the bottle, taking drugs, falling prey to simple behavior, and feeling guilt. Oh, yes, you feel guilty. So guilty that you might just succumb to suicide. It's a serious thing on tonight. You might just succumb to suicide or suffer a heart attack from the pressure of it all. You try, but you can't do it on your own. You have to drop your pride and come clean to your closest loved ones. Come clean to those closest to you. You have to be honest. If you really want to live, if you really want to live, if you're serious about living and you don't want to die, if you really want to live and not die, you must come clean. You are wrong. Hear me, you are wrong. There is grace and mercy for you too. God loved you the first time. Think about this. God loved you the first time when you were in sin and unable to help yourself. That's what Romans 5 and 8 from the New Century Version says. It says when we were unable to help ourselves, when we were in sin, God loved us and he sent Jesus. God loved you the first time when you were in sin and unable to help yourself, and he loves you now. What you're experiencing is a relapse. Somebody, what you're experiencing is a relapse, not a permanent lapse. You can come back from this. You can come back from this. And if you're not the one experiencing this, but your loved one is, I need you to know that they can come back from this. Let people say what they want. They're going to talk anyway. So let them say what they want. Judge unfairly the way that they will. When they find out your truth, what you secretly been living with all this time, they gonna talk, but let them talk. Because no image, no popularity, no fake pedestal is is worth upholding at the expense of your life. Hear me. No image, no popularity, no fake pedestal is worth upholding at the expense of your life, your deliverance, at the expense of your healing. Seek help. I can't say that enough. Seek help. Seek help. Medical assistance, counseling, Christian counseling. Open up to a psychiatrist, a therapist. Take the necessary time. There is no shame in the fight to get healed, to get whole. There is no shame in the fight to get healed, to get whole. Father God, look upon every leader who has been living a double life, standing before people, leading them. All the while, their own spirit is sinking deeper, deeper and deeper into depression. I come against the oppression of depression and the loneliness associated with it. Break the hold of every spirit, bipolar spirit, every drug-induced high, the buzz of alcohol. I come against it on tonight. Purge systems on tonight, Father. Break every sin-sick habit, every sinful behavior. Cause every leader to speak up. Call them to speak up. Give them their voice back. Call them to speak up and admit they're struggling, rendering void every weapon. If they speak up, then they will render void every weapon the enemy thought he would use at the expense of them keeping quiet, being secretive, ashamed, and prideful. We break those spirits on tonight. You will not be secretive, ashamed, and prideful, but you will speak up. You will speak up and break the power the enemy has over you. Somebody listen to me tonight. Speak up. Break the power of the enemy. You can break the power of the enemy off of your own life if you just speak up. I come against every demonic spirit that has attached itself to your thought life, causing you to believe the worst, that there's no grace and no mercy for you, that there's no grace and no mercy for them. That is a lie. That is a lie. There is grace and there is mercy for you. Prove them wrong, Father. Touch and heal every physical condition as well as every mental and emotional condition on tonight. Father, release stress, anxiety, detox, regroup, and refresh your leaders. Cause them to restructure their lives so that they can get the help they need to live, so that they can get the help they need to live and not die. Live and not die. Speak that over somebody tonight. Live and not die. Behold, delivered and healed. Behold, delivered and healed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're in need of prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text 865-408-8690. Again, the number is 865-408-8690. Or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com, prolificfire@gmail.com. However, if you're on the phone right now via Blog Talk Radio and you have a specific prayer request other than what I just prayed, you have a specific prayer request, press 1 on your phone. Press 1 on your phone, and I will be right with you after these last few announcements. If you need this ministry's PayPal information or Cash App information, go to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire or Cash App. Or Cash App. The cash symbol and the words prolific fire written together. The P is capital, the F is capital. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacy. If you need to, you can DM me on either one of those. That's fine. DM me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacy. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Be sure to join us on Faith on the Line with Prophet Pay for prayer and encouragement. We have a wonderful time in prayer. Prayers, if you've been missing it, be sure to Don't keep missing it. Join us this Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, by calling the number that many of you called tonight. Thank you. The number is 347-426-3782. Again, it's 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then, too. If for some reason you don't get your prayer request in tonight, you have a second opportunity on Friday. So call in. Then join us right back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place, when the woman of faith, Prophet Pate, will be live and giving us a lesson in faith. You don't want to miss it. If your faith needs to be boosted, if you need to be encouraged, if you just need to hear the word of God and need prayer, desperately need prayer, call in to Prolific Fire, and all those things will be going on. She will be bringing a word. She will be praying. She will be worshiping. It's a full experience. So be sure to join us then. To God be the glory.
Now, tonight, I realized that the message was heavy, but that's what God gave me. So if you're not a leader, but you know somebody that's a leader, when I put the link up on social media, be sure to pass this word on to them, because our leaders need us. A leader in any capacity, they need us. It's time out for suicide and time out for having heart attacks, all because they can't deal with the pressure, all because they're standing up before people pretending. It's time to get real. Get real in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask this question one more time. Is there anybody on the phone lines designed prayer on tonight? If so, press 1 on your phone. Press 1 and I will be glad to pray with you on tonight. If not, call out. See, you just popped in, Will. Go back and listen to the replay. Tell God be the glory. Until Friday night, everybody. Be blessed. Okay. Caller, you on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. God bless you, man of God. Yeah. I'm calling from the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Hello.
Your prayer request.
Yeah. I want the Lord to have mercy upon me and deliver me from those who are attacking me spiritually. I want the Lord to deliver me from them and empower me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we intercede on tonight, God, asking you, God, to break the power, Lord God, of the enemy over this man's life, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that there's no power higher than your power. Therefore, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over his mind, Lord God, that you will keep his mind from going under attack. Everything that the enemy tries to do, Lord God, I thank you for rising up in his spirit, Lord God, giving him enough strength to sword off the enemy's attack, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper from this day forward, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for increasing his faith, Lord God, for keeping him in your word, Lord God, and keeping him surrounded by people, Lord God, that mean him good, and everybody that does not mean him good, Lord God, that are on the front lines of attacking him, Lord God. Help him to see who they are, Lord God, that he may distance himself from them, Lord God, and be able to do what he needs to do for himself and not for them, Lord God, that he may get clarity in his thought, in his mind, in his body, and be free from everything that the enemy's trying to pull. Be free, be set free, be delivered, be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. We thank you for calling in on tonight. Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Okay, I was just about to close out, but there's always room for prayer. So if there's anybody else on the phone line, design prayer on tonight, press the 1 on your phone, and I will be glad to pray with you as well. Going once, going twice, going three times. If there's anybody on the phone lines and you missed prayer, but you really want prayer, but you can't make up your mind right now, join us on Friday, and you will have another opportunity. Tell God be the glory. Have a good night, everybody.